Hi everyone, this is Dave Charest, Content Manager here at Constant Contact, and welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. It's an interesting day here at the Speakeasy, and let's introduce who's with us.
Why is it interesting?
It's an interesting day because we're a little giggly and a little happy today. It's a Friday, I think we're all looking forward to a lovely weekend.
It's our
20th episode!
Hooray!
Happy anniversary, Speakeasy.
So thank you all for continuing to stick with us and listening. And who's with us today? Miss
Kristen Curtis.
There she is.
I am a social media specialist, and I am drinking UFO Pumpkin.
I'm Mark Healy, social media specialist, and I'm drinking a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Very nice. I'm Josh Mendelson. I work in product marketing, and today I'm having a fine Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
I'm Danielle Carmier, and I'm a social media specialist, and I am having a delicious cider.
I'm Azure Collier. I'm a social media education developer, and I'm also having a Magner cider.
Hooray!
Yay!
Cider!
Yay, drinks! So, happy Friday, everyone. Today we have an interesting topic. An infographic was published recently regarding a new study from a market research company, Lab 42. And they found that 50% of consumers find a brand's Facebook page more helpful than the brand's website. Interesting statistic. What do we think about that, guys?
I've got two things.
Two things. Let's hear them, Kristen.
One, you can update Facebook much quicker than you can update a website. So
true.
I think it's much more current.
Mm-hmm.
Two, most people are much more obvious and on Facebook. Obvious is not the word, but they're on Facebook. They're not always searching the web, but almost always is Facebook up on one of your tabs or something. I feel like people spend a lot more time on Facebook than mm-hmm. they do searching for a business website. A mm-hmm. lot of times people now, if they're thinking about a business, they will go directly to Facebook and see if they have a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Because Facebook is number one on most people's minds at this point. So honestly,
having,
not surprising.
And instead of having to remember to look up the business's webpage, the information's coming to them in Facebook.
Right.
So they just like it and they don't have to do anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's some upside and downside to this, right? Because I think, you know, we've talked about this before. Facebook provides much more of a conversation. You know, it allows you to show your personality more. It allows you to interact with your fans, you know, from the business side. But you have complete control over what goes on your website. So
mm-hmm.
if Facebook decides to change their algorithm and, you know, drastically reduce your reach, that's their right. You know, they kind of they own the ball. They can take it and go home.
Mm-hmm.
On your website, you own everything. So I think from the business side, you want to have a balance of both, and you want to be driving people to both so that you're not, you know, I love Facebook, but I don't think you want to rely 100% on Facebook because they can always make changes. We've seen
mm-hmm.
major changes numerous times this year. That as a marketer and as a small business, certainly, like, you need to be able to adapt to if they do something that isn't right for your business.
Well, I think that's the interesting thing, right? And I think that's where you have to figure out how do you strike a balance. I mean, great. You know, 50% of the consumers find value in the brand's Facebook page, and I think it should definitely be helpful. And that's the thing, but you need to remember is that if you're not, like, if you start to put so many eggs in one basket, that's a great face, Josh, thanks. If you start to put so many eggs in one basket, being Facebook, and again, something that you can't control, you run the risk of being at that mercy of that, right? So that's why I think, you know, all of us here, I think, would say, look, you know, social media followers are one thing, but email followers are a completely other thing, you know, where that you're looking to eventually get those people from your social networks to get onto your email list. Because once you do that, you're in control. And this really has nothing to do with your website. I mean, even your website, you want to still, your goal should be to get people onto your email list so that you can start marketing to them.
Would
you know?
You say that, you know, if you have to make a choice,
yeah.
if from your website you want to drive people to join your email list
mm-hmm.
or to like you on Facebook or follow you on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
what do you think is, you know, what do you guys think is sort of the best option?
The best option is whatever the audience wants to use most. You know, if you survey them or you can tell from them or you know, do test things, like what if you put a link in your email that you sent out on your Facebook page and your Twitter, one of your Twitter updates, and then you can see who interacted with it most where, you know, tests like that to see what people are using.
I would disagree somewhat, just to add that I think it depends on what your goal is, right? Traditionally, I would say email list. That's what you want to get people. When people visit your website, you want to get them to your email list. But that's not to say that, hey, you know what? We want to start using Facebook more, so I'm going to make the focus getting people to my Facebook page. Because it doesn't, I mean, traditionally, like if you think about it, it's not going to make much sense to, if you get somebody to your website, you want them to stay to check things out. You don't want to be driving them off to some other site. The whole point is to get people to your website. And if you've got them there, why would you want to send them away someplace else, right?
I think it makes sense to bring people to your email list and from your emails, bring them to Facebook.
Then let them know of your other places.
Exactly.
That way. Because then it becomes a cycle, right? It becomes, because we know, like, traditional marketing theory says that, what, somebody needs to see something like 7 or 8 times before that actually registers with them. And if you think about that, if you're just, okay, one, you have Facebook, where Facebook kind of throttles who's going to see what, and not everyone's going to see it. And then you have, like, Twitter, which has, like, millions of people tweeting at once, and it's very easy for your tweets to get passed up through the screen. And then you have email. Email, you say, I'm going to send this at this time, when I want. I know the people that are on my list. You kind of have more control over that. But if you're using these three things in kind of tandem, it's like you're sending out the message, you're sending them one place, and then you're increasing those chances of people seeing that message more places with having some control over it, rather than just letting it be like at the whim of Facebook or Twitter.
And I think from a consumer's perspective, I think the reason that Facebook resonates so well with consumers is that there's sort of more illusion of control, right? So you can go to one place and you can get and either engage with or dismiss everything all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's, you know, for anything you're passively shopping for, right? So if you're actively shopping, you'll search, you'll go to a website. For anything you're sort of more passive about, where you just kind of want to stay in the loop,
mm-hmm.
I think Facebook is an awesome way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So there are brands I like that I'm not actually in the market for anything, but
right.
I just think they're kind of cool. I want to know what's going on with that brand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's really even impacting purchase decisions, but you know, someone like Dogfish Beer, who I love, and does a great job on social media.
Mm-hmm.
They do a great job on Instagram, too, where I want to see the things that they're posting,
mm-hmm.
but it's not really impacting my decision. It's just building that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like it's more on my terms than if I go to their website, and that's really on their terms.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So I think to what really take from it is to realize that your contact information, obviously you want to make sure that that's correct and on your Facebook. And you want to make sure the most important things you want to get to your audience are both on your website and on your Facebook. But things that are kind of passive that you want people to know, but it's not so important, make sure it's on your website.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody's seeing what's on your Facebook anyway. So what you want to make sure is on your Facebook is fun, related stuff, plus the really important things. And then the other stuff, make sure it's all on your website that people can go to. And then give it to them in their email as well.
I think it makes it so much more important to actually be responding to everyone who interacts with you on social if you're going to put that much emphasis on Facebook, because the stats are out there that not every post on Twitter or Facebook to a brand gets answered. So if you're going to be driving people to your Facebook page that often, make sure you're responding.
Yeah, you need to reciprocate. If you expect them
mm-hmm.
to come and talk to you, you should be able to talk
mm-hmm.
to
yeah.
them when they want it to.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point, though. I think you need to set yourself up for success. If you don't have the bandwidth to be interacting, you know, look at something like
yeah.
Twitter, which Twitter is a much heavier investment than even Facebook. So if you're not going to do it right, you're almost better off not doing it at all.
Mm.
And if you're not, you know, if it's not something you're passionate about and you're not staffed to handle,
mm-hmm.
you know, a website and an email list is much more manageable on a day-to-day basis
mm-hmm.
than even Facebook. So I think you really need to be realistic about what you are prepared to do
mm-hmm.
before you dive into every network on the planet.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, here's just a few more statistics here, too, from this Facebook study. 82% of the people find Facebook to be a useful place to interact with brands, right? So, good
so
to
interact
Azure's point,
and don't just post about your product and try to sell
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's all about kind of making
mm-hmm.
a connection. Well, and to go to that point, 75% feel more connected to the brands they like on Facebook, and 69% have liked a page because a friend did. I think that's where the real power of Facebook kind of really comes in, is that this whole social activity stream that kind of pops up through the things that you do, like that really kind of drives the reach of your business, right? And I think that's the bonus. Like it kind of puts you in the forefront of people's minds, and then it's your job to get them and drive them to the places that you need them to go. So it's kind of giving you an audience, and you need to attract them and then have a plan for how you're going to move them to your place, basically.
I think people call it social and completely forget what that word means at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, we're calling it social media and there's a reason for it. The reason why you want to be there is to connect with your audience in a two-way conversation. Your emails are definitely important. You want to make sure you're telling them this information, but it's not necessarily your two-way. So Facebook is definitely the way to get out and talk to your customers and understand them a little bit more and have a face to a brand name.
So what do we think, I mean, and as we talk about kind of how, you know, Facebook changes and does these things, I mean, one of the recent changes has been to Facebook offers. Josh, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what happened there and what they did with that.
Right, so Facebook was allowing, was basically had a free product called Facebook Offers mm-hmm. where you could create a coupon, distribute it to your fans, and post it on their wall and all that. And, you know, that was really a beta for them. And now they've moved on. They've expanded the audience that can use Facebook offers. But they've also made it so that it's not really a free product anymore. Mm-hmm. You can create a coupon, and you can post it to your pay, to your timeline, mm-hmm. But it doesn't show up in any of your fans' newsfeed mm-hmm. if you don't pay for it. So I think it's really interesting. Like it clearly works well enough that they think people should pay for it. Mm-hmm. But it also, again, it's, you know, I think Facebook is smartly, from a business perspective, figuring out what works and how to get beyond the 16% who will see any given post to try to give you more reach as long as you're willing to pay for it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's very much, you know, they're becoming an advertising company, mm-hmm. which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's a shift from where they were 3 years ago for sure.
Yeah, I have mixed, you know, I have mixed emotions about that too, because, like, you know, I hate when the default for everybody is always advertising. You know, like, content works, right? I mean, like, people interacting and people using content and finding useful things, like, that works. Like, I just wish businesses would, like, do more of that,
well,
rather than just defaulting to eyeballs, 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 and here's a stupid ad that nobody looks at.
Well, you know, the people you know? Who don't understand how to get good content, this is, you know, a quick fix for them. It's not going to work in the long term if they don't have the good content, but it's, you know, it's something for them to try that they just don't understand what to say about themselves, when to say it, and this is just easier for them.
Well, aren't offers and promoted posts better than ads anyway?
Yep. I would
rather have a company that I enjoy showing me a coupon mm-hmm. than having my entire sidebar full of ads.
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
I love promoted posts. But the reason I love promoted posts is because it wasn't about promoting an ad. It was about promoting some type of social activity or some piece of content that you posted.
But isn't an offer just a piece of content? I mean,
but an offer, right. Yeah. Not different from a promoted post.
Yeah.
This is an offer. And I think that's a different thing. Like, that's an offer. That's not necessarily an ad, and it's completely different. It's offering
you a value.
It's an
offer from somebody you want to hear from.
Yeah, I don't think I have a problem with offers.
But I also think I think what they're trying to do is be more than an engagement platform. I think they want to be an acquisition platform,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, we know from all of our research that the number one thing small businesses, and certainly big businesses, think about is getting more customers.
Yeah.
So I think what mm-hmm. Facebook's trying to do is really help enhance that network effect that we talked about a few mm-hmm. minutes ago, where, you know, we want, you know, if one of us buys something, you know, Facebook wants to make sure that all of us are buying that, right? So that their customers are happy. So it's a little bit of a shift. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see the traction that it gets, because one of the things that attracted early adopters to social media is it was free. And Facebook now is moving away from the free model, really. I mean, you can do things for free, but it's now more of a freemium. I mean, you need, you know, you do things for free, but if you really want to do it well, it's not very free anymore.
Yeah.
So I think they're moving away from that. I think Twitter's moving away from that. I think LinkedIn would love to move away from that. So I think it's sort of like the business realities are setting in for some of these, quote, free social tools.
Well, I think it's completely appropriate. I mean, you get what you pay for, and that's completely true, regardless of how cliche it is. And people have been proving that these platforms work for businesses. So mm-hmm. why not the owners of these platforms say, hey, we are going to make this better for you, but at this point, you're going to have to pay for it. I mean, I think it makes sense.
And it's, you know, you get out of it what you put into it,
mm-hmm.
the time and the money.
Absolutely.
Yep. Right. I think they've layered on, it was always about time, but now it's about time and money.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be interesting to see. So Instagram is becoming more and more popular. We just saw the stat this week that, you know, they're now, you know, more effective than Twitter for a lot of folks. They're driving more traffic than Twitter. And as brands start to adopt it, you know, right now Instagram's a pretty clean feed. You know, you can, you know, some brands post too much, but some people post too much. My kid is so cute that there's never enough. But I'm just saying.
He is cute.
Yeah, he's cute. So, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, on Instagram is probably the cleanest platform that's out there right now in terms of advertising. You know, Pinterest is very much about driving you to websites. And Instagram is very clean. So it'll be interesting to see how long they can live with that model also.
Yeah. And Instagram is so much more brand awareness than actually sales, because you can't click through to actually buy something or learn more or see a blog post. It's just, here's an image. Remember my brand. Here is what we're doing.
Look at me.
Yeah. It's stories of the brand through images. And, I mean, it makes sense that it's being successful, because Facebook has gone to that point where it's very image-driven. Twitter, it's been proven that it's going to get a lot more opens if you tell the person this is an image. So it makes sense.
People, LinkedIn is getting much more visual. Yeah.
People are getting so lazy that they do not want to read anything, which is great, and Instagram is taking that. But I completely agree. I wonder how long it will take them before they get to the point
where
it's like...
When are people
going to
be sick of images?
Yeah.
Because people are getting sick of infographics, I think.
It's true.
I love infographics. I'll never get sick of them.
But you can just throw any facts into one. It has to be good. A good infographic.
Yeah,
and a lot of people,
and
just
anyone can,
yeah,
make
social
facts
are,
these days.
Yeah, and it's a really good point about all of this. I mean, if you're producing, you know, I think Azure was talking about this a few minutes ago. It's about quality. So, you know, if you're posting, there's definitely a max amount that you can post without where you just become obnoxious if you post too much. But I think if people are posting good things, it's not obnoxious. You are potentially limiting your audience, but you're engaging with a much more passionate audience. I think Instagram has done a good job, or the brands that are doing a good job on Instagram, they really take it to heart. They post behind-the-scenes stuff. They post things that you're not getting anywhere else, and you're not even getting on their Facebook page. They're really, you know, I think the smart brands are doing it right. I think, you know, it's still a work in progress.
That's good, too. Yeah. There's not a lot of cross-promotion with a lot of good Instagram. A lot of people take images that they use on Facebook and they put it on Pinterest. And, you know, it's just, if you're here, you see it. And if you're on both, you see them double time. And on Instagram, it definitely is its own solely original images.
I think it helps you kind of look at who are your loyal customers. If they really want to see all these images of what goes on behind the scenes, these people, you really need to reach out to them. They are very interested in you.
Cool. All right, Danielle, you have a tip for us today?
Yes. My tip for today is something that a lot of marketers, I think, know, but not probably the everyday user of Facebook, is that Facebook has a pretty good help section. If you look up in the right-hand corner, Kristen and I were just talking about this today, about how no one really realizes that it's there, but next time you have a Facebook question, just type it in there, go to the help center, you will probably be able to find your answer much faster than trying to Google it or ask someone else.
Very cool. All right, folks, thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.